This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 15th, 2014. I'm Caleb Brown. The rapid movement of supply and demand have delivered a bit of sticker shock to consumers of services like Uber. Still, that's nothing compared to the reaction to the car service in France. Peter Van Doren, editor of Regulation Magazine, explains. The New York Times had a piece detailing some consumer outrage over Uber's surge pricing. That is, the car service Uber charges way more during peak demand times, as the New York Times points out here. Like during a New York snowstorm or Washington on New Year's Eve, it sets a higher rate in hopes of increasing supply by enticing more of its drivers to come out or stay out. And a lot of people have been, complaining about that. And help us understand at a very basic level, how does that work?
Well, notice that, interesting, the language you used and I'm not picking on you, the language you used to describe how people think of it is in part of the problem. Notice you called it a car service, Uber. Technically, Uber does not own cars. Uber, in its business model, is a matching algorithm driven by a computer, i.e., there are suppliers of car services who are individual contractors, and they are rated, and they, i.e., they have to provide a certain level of service, a certain kind of car, and it's very much like what we used to call a black car service, i.e., you could always, when I go to the airport here in Washington, I call up Al. He's my airport, go to the airport guy. Al has run his own airport limousine service since, the early 70s. All that Uber is doing is allowing people like Al to match up with people who want rides in real time rather than through a prearranged phone call, which is how that market is usually operated.
Now, before we started recording, you referred to Uber as something akin to a spot market. That is, you're paying the price, whatever that price happens to be at that moment.
Well, I was saying that taxis cruising, searching for anonymous passengers, is you can think of it like a spot market, whereas the black car market was a prearranged, contractual, everyone knew the price kind of thing ahead of time. And what Uber is doing is allowing these two markets to converge, and so that the black car market can now compete directly for spot taxi service, because someone just gets on their phone and pushes the button for the app and then instantly can arrange service, whereas the black car market historically required thought and you had to think ahead of time, and young people don't do that. And so young people have never used black cars. Only adults or older, middle-aged and above adults have. And now what Uber's doing is bringing the black car market to young people. And they're not used to so notice, as I was saying, the way you described it is young people think of it as a car service, like Uber owns and determines the behavior of the people who show up to provide you service. Uber doesn't do that. Uber matches suppliers and demanders in real time through a computer algorithm whose purpose is to optimize and increase throughput. So Uber increases prices when its computers sense much more demand than supply and then the increased price induces the more supply of services and decreases demand until the throughput is maximized given the weather conditions and things like that.
And so a strikingly different model would be something like grocery stores. As you've explained it, smoothing the price over time. Like your car service, they do own cars. The price is known. And maybe there's high demand. Well, then they just run out of cars.
Right. The traditional black car market has been like a grocery store in that even though black cars are not regulated in the way spot taxis are, black car – my guy Al has – in fact, he price discriminates. He actually hasn't changed the price of going to the airports in Washington in the 15 years that I've been here, or
and
16
I know you have
years.
Detailed records to indicate how
yes,
much you paid over time for,
yes, I do.
For those.
He charges new customers higher and older customers less, as best I can tell. Uber's business model is very different. It is simply trying to match supply and demand in real time by changing prices. And retailers like grocery stores typically don't do that. So most young people are not used to encountering any kind of market in which the prices change in real time to equilibrate supply and demand. And the first time you encounter that, it's unpleasant and they are outraged, and that's the source of the Twitter comments that you described. Because a regulated taxi market still exists, though, I think this sociological phenomenon will fade quickly, because if you're hyper-conscious about this and don't like time-varying prices, you will then search for a traditional taxi in bad weather, and if you're able to find it, you will have a lower price. But you'll also find that you won't be able to find a regulated taxi in bad weather.
Or at least you'll have to wait in line.
You have to wait, whatever. And so you'll see what we call a separating equilibrium, which is the people who really love the new service will end up using it and not complain about it. The people who love the old service will put up with its idiosyncrasies and also not complain. And complaints will go to zero and people will sort.
Now, there was a related story in Business Week, Bloomberg Business Week, that basically detailed some Twitter comments of people in France trying to make use of Uber vehicles. A woman said that her car, the Uber driver's car, was attacked. Smashed windows, tires, vandalized vehicle, and bleeding hands is what she said. Other cars have also suffered a similar fate. This is from Business Week. Tensions between cabbies and Uber have been brewing for months at the request of taxi drivers. The government recently imposed a new rule on private services requiring a minimum 15-minute wait because the time a car is between the time a car is booked and a passenger being picked up.
Again, right, earlier I said that the black car market has traditionally been always available everywhere, but one had to think ahead and reserve and et cetera. And what technology is doing is changing the black car market so it can more closely mimic what spot taxi service provides. As best I can tell in France, I mean, again, an economist might be puzzled. Usually the regulated market doesn't like competition from the unregulated competitors. And they usually argue the unregulated competitors are inferior, that they provide lower quality, that they're marginal, that you're not certain of things, you could be held up. Ironically, as best I can tell, certainly in the States, I'm not sure what's happening in Europe, it might be different there, and we could talk about that. I mean, regulated taxis in Europe are quite stunningly beautiful. I've been in taxis in France and Germany. They're always Mercedes. The drivers are always middle-aged and very middle-class to upper-class, and they're very well compensated. So it could be that competition in Europe at the margin is of lower quality and lower wage, et cetera, et cetera. In the U.S., Uber competition with regulated taxis is actually the opposite. It's higher quality, more polished, probably higher paid, so that the regulated market is the inferior, at least from my perspective, alternative in the United States. So it could be the reason I'm puzzled about Europe could be that the everything's flipped in Europe and that the competition is in the eyes of the regulated sector and the labor in that sector, the competition is, quote, inferior, unquote, and should be not allowed because it reduces their income.
One argument that at first blush makes a bit of sense is the idea that in the regulated market, particularly in New York City, the medallions, there's a fixed number of them. You have to buy one. You can buy one from another driver, I believe, and they're quite expensive. Uber drivers face no such limitation whatsoever.
Well, even in New York, I mean, the regulated medallion cruise for hire yellow cab market has been restricted to somewhere in the order of 11,000 cabs since the 1930s, when that system was put into effect. Needless to say, demand for taxis has risen since then. But New York also has 50,000 black cars, which are, quote, unregulated and used to be until this new app. You had to call and make a reservation, et cetera, et cetera. And even there, the prices didn't vary in real time. And so what's happening is but the irony is that in the regulated market, the drivers do not in the States, the drivers don't get the benefits from the limits on supply.
Well, those rents were collected a long time ago, right? The value associated with the medallion was collected by a previous entrant and probably somebody who's already exited from the
correct.
From
in
the
fact,
field.
Whoever got those medallions for free a long time ago by the city of New York, they made money over time through the appreciation. Now there's a market, a secondary market for medallions. One has to pay the market price for those, and that is the capitalized value of the excess profits that arise from the restrictions on supply in Manhattan.
But there is this repugnance associated with cab drivers. I had to buy my medallion. What do these guys have to do?
Well, if I'm in a regulated market and I had to pay to get into it, and then I see competition at the margin, that is unstable. I mean, look at the history of the reason we got railroad and trucking deregulation at the national level in the United States in the 1980s. Well, first, railroads went bankrupt, and so the regulation wasn't creating any excess profits anymore because the market had completely changed. Then truckers, right? Once railroads were deregulated, trucking felt that they needed to be deregulated as well because you can't compete for transportation services with something that's unregulated when you're regulated. And so the French cabbies probably feel, as I said, maybe the worst of both worlds, which is if my characterization of Europe is correct, which is the regulated market in Europe is high service, high cost, and maybe Uber at the margin in Europe is actually a lower quality, lower cost competitor, that's probably extremely threatening to the existing regulated market.
Peter Van Doren is editor of Regulation Magazine. You can subscribe to and read Regulation at cato.org.